Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast, our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Kolov.
Welcome to another episode, Q&A with Kolov, the Devil's Nightmare. With me today, such a special show to have today because I get to have some of my family on the Q&A with Kolov today. Kendra and Brandon Murr, all the way from Maui, Hawaii. Guys, welcome to the Q&A show with Kolov.
Thank you.
We have an extra visitor.
Well, yes. It's just recently, for those who maybe aren't aware, maybe don't know, they have a new addition to the family, little Lenny Lou, a beautiful little granddaughter, number 10 for me, and as well as their other daughter, Monroe. Little Roro, and so, you could probably hear a little gurgling in the background as we're talking, and that's okay. That's okay. So, but welcome to the Q&A show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm just thrilled to have you. I'm just recently out. I said all the way from Maui, Hawaii. I just recently made a trek out there to meet Lenny Lou. Of course, spend some wonderful time with you guys. You're such gracious hosts and just had such a great time out there with you guys. And so right away, when the listeners are listening, Maui, Hawaii, you know, the very first question I get asked when I tell people you guys live in Hawaii is, oh, are they in the military? And I'm like, no. They are not in the military. But and I do want to encourage people to go and listen to the Man Up show when I interviewed the two of you on the Man Up show, where they'll get a whole lot more of the story. But Kendra, I'll just start with you. And what's it like to live, for our listeners, what's it like to live in Maui, Hawaii? And what prompted you to want to live in Maui, Hawaii? Two-part question.
Yeah, what's it like to live here? I think that it's great. A lot of people ask if we get island fever, if we feel trapped, which we definitely don't. I think people also get confused and think that, like, we don't have normal things like Target, or we just recently are getting a Chick-fil-A, so... We do have normal things.
Such as pineapple trees and sugar cane patches, right? So,
yeah, exactly. It's not just that. So we do have, you know, modern amenities. Amazon does ship here, but we also have beautiful beaches. So it is, yeah. It's been probably, I would say, my favorite place that I've lived, which. We've lived in a couple of different states now. And I basically just saw Brandon out here. I did not think that we were going to be out here as long as we have. It's been 8 years now. We kind of moved out here thinking it would just be a fun 6-month adventure and we'd go back to North Carolina, but that's just not what happened. The Lord opened doors and we've been out here ever since. And we obviously don't have intentions of leaving. I don't know what the future holds, but so far we see this as where we'll raise our family and get to enjoy all that Maui offers.
Living the high life. And I know, Brandon, from prior conversations, you know, going back into, I guess, maybe junior high school or what we might know as middle school or I don't know, whatever they're calling it these days. But anyway, you kind of had your first kind of aspirations of one day, we'll just say experiencing Hawaii, right? And then in one sense, it's almost like a dream come true that you stepped out in faith with no job, no place to live when you graduated college and said, hey, I'm going to go and just, let me just see what happens, right? Isn't that kind of how that unfolded?
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, just kind of, it was just kind of a pipe dream when I was younger. Yeah. And then it just, the desire to come out here got stronger and stronger throughout high school and then through college. And so, yeah, I kind of planned on just coming out here for a little bit, like Kendra said. And yeah, I think mainly the desire to come out here was just surfing and the beaches and all that stuff, which has obviously always been amazing. And I still think that we've traveled quite a bit. And I think Maui is just one of the most beautiful places God ever created. But even more so than that, what we have always been struck by and what has kind of kept our roots here, I think, is just the community. Yeah, Maui's a very interesting place. You get a lot of transplants out here. So the majority of people we hang out with out here have moved here at some point or another. So you kind of have this entire community of people who don't have extended family nearby. So it's a lot of, the family that you would go to for 4th of July, we just had, and Thanksgiving and Christmas and things like that. A lot of those things that you would normally do with extended family, you kind of have all these people in a similar situation out here. So it kind of takes that community to the next level. And so, yeah, our friend group has really kind of become like family out here. And I think that more than anything is what has made it such a desirable place and a big part of the reason why we feel so at home here.
Yeah. And of course I've, the number of trips I've made out there, I've met a number of your friends. And so you certainly do have an amazing community there of like-minded and folks and families and that are all around the same age, as well as some older as well, but certainly around the same age with kids around the same age. And so you've developed, what a blessing that is. And I just, when I know your story and think about some of your story and just how the Lord, you graduated from college with a civil engineering degree, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Yep. And so you, as far as I'm concerned, when I look at your story, think about your story and the job opportunity that evolved there with the engineering company there, just a God story, how God, and I don't know if you view it that way, but how God miraculously opened up an opportunity. If I understand the story right, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, but with a company that wasn't even hiring, at the time that you went to interview with them, but you're such a great guy that the owner fell in love with you, like hired you by the end of the day. Is that pretty much how the story? You went in in the morning for an interview, hung out with them for the day, and by the end of the day, you were offered a job. Is that more or less how that happened, if I remember right?
Yeah, well, you're giving me a little more credit than I deserve there. You are right in the sense that they had not advertised that they were hiring. So, yeah, what happened was I was just planning on doing the restaurant thing. I called them. This is maybe we've been here for 5 or 6 days. And I'm just going through cold calling all the different firms. There's only about 7 firms on the island, so it wasn't going to take long. But I called these guys and I just asked them if they had a position part-time, whatever. And he's like, well, we weren't hiring, but we just had, he said, it's just me and one other engineer, but the other engineer just quit on me yesterday. So I could really use some help. So if you want to come in, we are now actively hiring. So I went in, yeah, that next day. I met him in the morning. I got all dressed up like you're taught to in school. And I wore a skinny tie. And I had a nice long collared shirt and pants and dress shoes. And I showed up. And both of my boss and then the attorney, so the engineer and the attorney, are both barefoot and wearing board shorts and a t-shirt. immediately grilled my nickname for the first little bit at the office was Southern Skinny Tie.
Oh my gosh.
We kind of all had a good laugh right off the bat, and then on just a friend's fun level, really connected with them right off. They kind of gave me a hard time for that, and then I fit in really well with both them, the two main guys in the office. And then we're doing a big megawatt solar install. It's about 5,000 solar panels over on the west side in Lahaina. So they took me out there and kind of walked around the site and, had a really good day. And then, by the end of the day, he's like, look, man, we had a real good time with you. I think you'd be a great fit here. If you're up for it, you can start working for us tomorrow. So that's what I did first week here.
Wow. Job description. No shoes required. You can't even get in stores with no shoes. Right? No shoes required and board shorts require. What a job description. That's incredible. Right up your alley, Mr. Surfer, right? So that's amazing. And so, well, and kind of condensed, fast forward the story. I mean, you guys dated through your college days, actually met. Again, go back and listen to the Man Up show and you'll get more of the story, or go listen to the Man Up show, I should say, more of the story of how these two lovebirds met and it blossomed into a marriage with now two beautiful little baby girls, and their family continues to grow. And I know, Kendra, I know you worked for a while. You went out there, got a job for different, a variety of jobs, but ended up working for the same company for a while. But now you just stay at home, and which is nothing, which is admirable, and a job in and of itself to be a stay-at-home mom and just raise those babies and educate them and teach them the ways in which they should go, train them up in the way they should go, right? So when they're older, they won't depart. And so, I mean, again, with your community and that you guys have there is just amazing. And of course, you fit right in with the beach life, right?
Yeah, fit right in. No shoes up my alley.
and I know, I think maybe the first trip out there that, you gave me the, what I would say, maybe the nickel tour of the island, and by meaning that we went and did this was before babies, family. But I know we went to some of those amazing beaches you're talking about there in Maui. It is such a beautiful island. If you've never been, you're out there listening, put Maui on your list of places to go travel to. I remember too, one vivid memory besides the little paths we trekked down to see hidden waterfalls and all those sorts of things was the mount, what's that, where we drove way up above the cloud level to watch the sunset one night. What's that called?
That's Haleakala, so that's the volcano. So
yes. Yeah,
we went up there. You can go up there anytime, but mainly people go to watch the sunrise or the sunset.
Yeah, and that was an amazing experience to sit up above that cloud line and how cold it got once the sun started going down, man. Went from, you think Hawaii, you think, 80 degrees, balmy, and but man, it got chilly up there. I remember that too.
Yeah. We bring our winter clothes up there because it is cold and windy. So, yeah, that's the kicker.
Yeah, it is. So people would not expect, I think, if they weren't anticipating that. But
no, tourists come up, you see, and they are like literally in their flip flops and short, like, and they have like a beach towel from their resort wrapped around them because you can tell they did not. Get the memo.
Definitely tourists. They forgot to read their email. And definitely tourists. All right. One other quick question before we transition to your questions for me. So, Brandon, I'm going to bounce back to you real quick. And what's your favorite thing? Kendra, I'll ask you the same question. What's your favorite thing about living on Maui, Brandon?
Oh, favorite thing. Well, I mean, kind of like I said earlier, what has become my favorite thing really is the community out here, the close-knit, the willingness and desire for everyone to, I guess you would call it, do life with each other out here.
Yeah.
Just our neighborhood. We're very close with all of our neighbors, all of our community. I kind of said all that earlier. So that is what's become my favorite thing. A more fun answer, my favorite like activity to do out here. I don't do it nearly as much as I would like to, but I would definitely say surfing. I got a new custom surfboard last year. It's real nice. It's a long board. So especially in the summers, we love to. Yeah, we don't do much competitive surfing. Not much ripping around on the shortboard, but I love it whenever me and Kendra get the chance to go out and longboard together. Super fun.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Well, and again, I've been to some of those beaches. I've seen some of the windsurfing, and just recently, remember. So, I can see how you would love doing that, and certainly, and you're in the right place for it, right? So, whether it's up on the North Shore or any other beach that offers that, I could see why you would enjoy that. So, That's awesome, Kendra. Same question. What's your favorite thing about living in Hawaii?
I would just say the active lifestyle. I feel like, especially having kids now, I mean, Monroe's spoiled, because if we go anywhere that's like 60 degrees, she's like, Mom, I'm cold. I want to go back to the heat. but we're able to be outside like literally all day, every day, even if we live kind of at the base of the West Maui Mountains, so we can be in clouds more than different parts of the island. But even if we're kind of cloudy, we drive 20 minutes and we're in the sun. So it is a rare day when the entire island is covered in rain. And if so, it's kind of like, all right, cool, we get a cozy day inside, but we can always find sun. And I think with kids, that's just so special to be able to go out, especially we don't have winter where we're all getting colds and, you know, dealing with all the sickness. Obviously people still get sick here, but being outside is just such a game changer, and being able to be active and hike and surf and swim. And I just feel like for us and for our kids, it's a really, really, really cool childhood.
Yeah, for sure. I've thought about that a number of times. What a special opportunity for Monroe and for Lenny, and to be able to grow up and experience that. And I've been on a number of those walks and a number of those beaches. And like you said, get in the car, it's cloudy, we're at the house, but drive 15, 20 minutes and it's beautiful sunshine, and you can work on that golden tan, right? Sometimes. So, anyway. All right. Well, man, it's just, there's so many more things I could ask, but this is the Q&A with Koloff. And so I'm going to have to flip the table here and give you guys the opportunity. And whoever wants to go first, maybe a couple questions each, go ahead and fire away your first question for me. Whoever wants to go first, I'll leave it up to you.
All right, I do have a quick question for you, because you did mention just before we got on the show here that you just finished, I think, three books, you said, while you were out here with us. So a question that I do typically like to ask just about everybody is, what is, maybe in the last, like, year or so, what's the best thing that you've read? If you had to give, like, one good book recommendation, what's something you would recommend?
Boy, that's a really, really tough question, because there's so many. I mean, I think I set a goal, and of course, Kendra probably knows this about me. Brandon, you may as well, but I'm a goal guy, right? So I like, at the end of the year, I like reviewing goals and then establishing new goals for the upcoming year. One of those goals for 2022 was to read 12 books. I thought, well, sometimes I've read as much as a book a week. And then at other times, it kind of slows down. But I thought, okay, I'm going to set a goal of 12, and I'll do one a month this year. And I think I've already surpassed that. Just the long flights and the trip out there and back did help me finish three more books just in that trip alone. And I'm going to give, I'm just trying to think even some of the titles of some of the books I've read right now, as I may not be able to get a specific title as much as kind of give a range of that somebody might consider. And let me just say, first and foremost, probably goes without saying, but I'm just going to say it anyway for the record. I read my Bible every single day. And so for those listening out there, that if that's not something you do, can I encourage you in the listening world, man, pick up a Bible and just start reading. And it doesn't even matter where you start. Just start somewhere and start reading. You start in the gospel, start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but just start somewhere. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest book you'll ever read. And so read that book. And then outside of that, I'm a motivational guy. I'm an inspirational guy, right? And so, I've written a motivational book, Wrestling with Success, while at the same time, I've read a lot of inspirational and motivational books. And I like to say this for those out there who maybe are not avid readers or loathe reading, that readers are leaders. One thing that really impressed me in this last trip I was out there with you guys as we walked to the library, which was so much fun, about 15, 20 minute walk to the library. And you guys picked up, I don't know how many you picked up for Monroe, but probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 books that you picked up for her. And I don't know how many I read to her or how many you guys read to her, but it was a lot. I think we probably got through all 40 more than once. But so I think you guys are laying such an incredible foundation for Monroe and eventually Lenny to know that readers are leaders. So I guess I'm going to say all that to say for the listener in addressing your question is, something that's inspirational, motivated that because you can learn from anyone, you can learn from everyone, and especially biographies and autobiographies. I'd always heard, read about other people's life stories because there's so much you can learn from other people. And so a lot of people don't do that. They don't read biographies or autobiographies, but I would encourage the listener out there. So I'm not giving you any specific title names today, Brandon, but hopefully that answer will help help the listener out there and maybe encourage you as well. So
yeah, that's good. No, yeah, I think I've only ever read one biography in my life, but yeah, I did really enjoy it, and that's something I haven't really done a lot of reading in the past, but
yeah,
I will consider.
Yeah, for real. Like, I'll give you a couple names. Go read Abraham Lincoln. Go read Winston Churchill. There's two names right there. Consider those two to start with, and then there's so many other good stories, life stories that you can learn from. So,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Kendra.
All right. I have an easy one for you.
Okay.
If you had to choose to cheer for Carolina Panthers or the Minnesota Vikings, who would you choose?
Hands down, short answer, Skol Vikings. Skol Vikings. Look, and for those who I think most probably know now, grew up in Minnesota, which is why my little sweet pea's asking me that question, of course, but she was raised in the Carolinas and with the Carolina Panthers, which I think when I first moved to Carolina, they didn't even have a NFL football team. Now, I will say that if the Panthers and the Vikings are playing, then for real, I'll be cheering the Vikings. That's not to say I don't cheer the Carolina Panthers if they're playing somebody else, but they're definitely number two on the rung, not numero uno. So there you go. Skol Vikings, purple and gold, baby, purple and gold.
I have a more difficult one now. Or not more difficult, more long-winded maybe. Okay, so what would be your number one piece of advice for a dad? Doesn't have to be like a girl dad, but just a dad.
Ooh, good question. I mean, great question. Yeah, quality time. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to give a short answer. Quality time and then give a little bit more explanation to that. I feel like having been a dad raising four daughters, you're one of four girls, I know Brandon was raised with a brother. But for a new parent out there or someone trying to figure out parenting, you know, more than just tossing, you know, a $20 bill at your child or, you know, obviously depending on what their age is or whatever, or parking them in front of a, it's one of the things I appreciate about you guys. You know, you limit Monroe's screen time, you know, so you're not just parking her in front of a television screen or a computer screen or an iPad screen or a phone screen and her day being consumed with a technology. And that's something I really, really appreciate about how you guys are training up and raising up your children and spending that quality time. And I know you talked about community, where you guys, even from a homeschooling standpoint, again, all centers around quality time, right? So dads, whether you got, especially dad daughters, and I don't know how much you remember this, Kendra, but, you know, I tried to be very intentional with you and all your sisters, not only do things together as a family, but to just have one-on-one quality time. In fact, I remember, I remember one specific incident. This was kind of interesting. Obviously, as you got older, I used to, you know, when you were in elementary school, I'd want to come over and have lunch, right? Try once a week or often anyway to come and sit down in your lunchroom and have lunch with you. Of course, when you moved on to like middle school, that sort of thing, you're like, yeah, you don't need to come anymore, Dad. I'm like, come on. But if you remember, I used to come and check you out of school and take you, like you mentioned, Chick-fil-A. I used to take you. Remember me taking you to other restaurants or doing that? Do you remember that at all?
Yeah.
And there was one time I actually took about three or four of your friends. I guess the school must have trusted me or something. I don't know. But I took a group of your friends to Chick-fil-A, and we had a count. You guys must have, I guess you were discussing a conversation about, I always remember this. Hey, Dad, are there different levels to Christianity? Like you know, and I'm like, well, I go, let me just qualify that. I think there's different levels of maturity, right? And that someone can, you know, not necessarily be more spiritual than somebody else, but be more mature than somebody else, right? You may or may not remember that conversation, but I vividly remember that over.
I do not.
Yeah.
But I ask a lot.
Yeah, over by First Assembly. But all that to say, quality time. Dads, you're listening out there. Make sure, I don't care what age your child is. Now, obviously, if they're an infant like Lenny, you know, they may not remember as much, but I see Brandon spending quality time with Monroe and just quality time more than anything else that I would emphasize for a dad or a new dad or out there when it comes to your children.
That's good. Okay.
Yep.
I got a couple. So my first question is, you're obviously a charismatic guy, and I think you would have been successful at a lot of things. So my question is, if it hadn't been wrestling, what career path do you think you would have taken, or what do you think you would have ended up doing if you hadn't?
Hadn't got involved in the wrestling, huh? Well, so I was very passionate about football from age 12, and weightlifting and football, bodybuilding, weightlifting and football. Very passionate about health and wellness and sports, and so was on track or felt. I had a couple setbacks in college where I fractured some bones in college in games, but that I like to say, you know. A setback doesn't have to hold you back. It could be a setup for a comeback, right? So somebody probably wants to write that one down. But so I used my first fractured leg as motivation to come back, and I did. And I was scouted by the NFL my senior year in college, only to fracture my other leg. But I wasn't discouraged by that. I was still determined to one day play in the NFL because that was my dream as a youngster, right? Kind of like you had these ideas of going to Hawaii. I had an idea that I would play in the NFL. As a backup, I got a degree in teaching, physical education, minors in coaching and health, and thought, well, if all else fails, I'll go into teaching and coaching, right? And so I was on the path of trying out for a team with the United States, at the time, United States Football League. I would use that as a stepping stone into the NFL, I felt like. And I had a couple guys I looked up to, one a tight end that played for the Green Bay Packers, Paul Kaufman, and Russ Francis, and then a guy, his name just slipped from the Oakland Raiders, but anyway, it'll come back to me. But anyway, so football would have been the path that I would have chose. I figured I'd have a 10-year career, walk away on top, and like Barry Sanders, and then go off into coaching, have a 15-20-year coaching career, and sail off into the sunset. That would have been the path, but the door of opportunity opened up for that crazy world of professional wrestling, and as the old cliche goes, the rest is history.
Oh, that's crazy. So when you say the U.S. Football League, what is, so now I just know of the NFL. There used to be another league below that. Is that right?
Not below. There's been competitive attempts at competitive leagues to the NFL. Quite a number of years ago, there was one called the WFL, the World Football League. And in fact, Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, and Paul Warfield from the Miami Dolphins all jumped for a higher salary over to the World Football League. I think the Memphis Showboats, if I remember my history correct, don't quote me on that. I don't know that it lasted a year or two. The United States Football League also, it might have lasted a year or two. Actually, it's called the U.S. It's just last year they had their first season, not the same owners or anything, but all the same league names and all of that. And they play in the spring, not in the fall. They play a short 10 week season or something. And the Rock of Wrestling, Dwayne Johnson, bought the rights of the XFL from Vince McMahon, and supposedly next year the XFL will be out there in the spring competing as well. And so, yeah, they were like leagues that guys that maybe had been cut from the NFL and or the USFL, like Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals, and Herschel Walker played for him. And
really?
Yeah, many of the guys got their start in the USFL way back then. In fact, Lex Luger and a wrestler named Ron Simmons were playing for the Tampa Bay Bandits that I was going to go try out for that I never did. But there's so many other guys. Jim Kelly, who played for the Buffalo Bills, got his start in the USFL. Doug Flutie. I mean, there were some big names that Kurt Warner. Who's Hall of Famer now. There's so many guys got starts in those other leagues that you didn't hear a whole lot about because they just didn't have enough money to make it all happen. But so.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Oh, you got one?
Wait, so would you ever coach now? Like, even if it was just like a high school or something?
You know what? I don't know that at this juncture that I would have time. The one opportunity I had that I passed up, which looking back now, I really kind of honestly wish I hadn't, would have been at this little school called First Assembly Christian School. You might have heard of it, Kendra Taylor. And former Carolina Panther was the head coach. Brandon, you might know who I'm talking about. Any ideas, Brandon, on who I'm talking about?
Mr. Mentor?
Mike Mentor. I actually sat down and met with Mike Mentor to coach at First Assembly, and it would have been while you were a cheerleader there, Sweet Pea. And he wanted me to coach the defensive line. I'm like, dude, I want to coach tight ends. I don't want to coach defensive linemen. And but looking back, man, I wish I had, because 3 years in a row, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, he won state championships for their league 3 years in a row.
I think so, yeah.
I think they maybe only lost like one or two games over a span of three.
I know. So that's one of those things I'm kicking myself for not being a part of that. And there would have been a lot of flexibility there because I was still traveling, preaching, speaking, doing autograph signings. But he would have worked with me and been flexible with me. And I'm like, man, I don't want to coach defensive line. And so, but anyway, so I don't know that I coach now. Huh? Do what?
What about your stepping stone to the tight end?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. All right. Are we out of questions, or you guys got any more for me before we wrap up here?
I do have one more.
Okay.
So I've been reading a lot about spiritual discipline lately.
Yep.
Specifically in regards to like Dallas Willard. And so he kind of goes through in his books a list of like 9 or 10, anywhere from fasting, praying, scripture reading, scripture memorization, Sabbath, community, those kind of things.
Yep.
If you, obviously they're all super important. I think of you a lot when I read that, because I feel like you have done a lot of the spiritual disciplines really well. If you could, I don't know that you can rank them in order of importance, but could you just pick one of them and tell me how it's been like formative in your life, or how it's really impacted you?
Well, so there's four main components that I look at when it comes to my spiritual journey with the Lord, and I feel they're all equally important. So I'll just, instead of just picking one, I'll just quickly highlight those four. And I talk about them when I do these, my Man Up conferences, and certainly when guys attend Man Camp, that's a deep dive, right? So we dive much, much, much deeper over 5 days at the camps and really instilling this in men, right? And that is, the four components are prayer, worship, the Bible reading, and relationships, right? Building community, building relationships and friendships with others. And so I try to spend an equal amount of time reading the word and getting the word written upon the tablet of my heart, and just, you know, whether it's even memorizing or internalizing the word of God. And I do that on a daily basis, spending time in worship every day. And these are everyday activities for me, spending time in worship, just sometimes just soaking in worship. And then in my prayer closet, spending time communicating, building that relationship with the Lord, that personal, intimate relationship with Him. And so just prayer for others, not always just prayer for myself either. That's kind of at the tail end. You know, I try to put everybody else's prayer requests and what's on my heart in front of my own requests. And so prayer, worship, reading of the word, internalizing the word, and last but not least is building relationships with other, building community, doing life, as you guys I think have said, with others. So there you go, condensing it down. There you go.
So good. That's why you're the best.
Well, I appreciate you, Kendra. Give you last word or final question, or are you out of questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Brandon normally asks, so I was waiting on him to ask you, but he didn't. So, when you are praying, what do you picture? Because can you explain that a little bit further, B?
Yeah, I get a wide variety of answers to this question. I always find it very fascinating. But yeah, basically, when you pray, who or what do you, I won't tell you the other answers that I've gotten to give you any ideas. I just want to hear what you say.
ACTS, ACTS. It's an acronym. ACTS, ACTS. Starting with the A, acknowledging and lifting up adoration to the Lord. So typically, first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord, give the Lord my gratitude, just lift up my adoration for Him. In fact, Lord had me do a CD project called Adoration and two different ones, Adoration and Declaration, to teach people how to adore Him, taking scriptures and teach them how to adore Him, and then taking scriptures and how to declare scriptures over their life. So A, adoration, acknowledging Him for who He is, and just loving on Him, just sharing my adoration for Him. A, C, confession. If there's things I need to confess and ask forgiveness for and repent of, then I'm going to take some time to do that. And just, you know, whether it was a word that slipped out of my mouth, or a thought that popped into my head, or, you know, treated somebody wrong, or, you know, and so just confession, some confession time. And then the T is Thanksgiving. It kind of ties in with adoration, but just Thanksgiving, giving thanks. It says in all things to give thanks. And so just taking some time and just, again, sharing a heart of gratitude and things I'm thankful for. My family, Kendra and Brandon Murr and so many others, right? Kobe, Taryn, Tawny, the other girls and families, and just giving thanks. Thanks for my health. Thanks for a roof over my head. Thanks for food on the table. Thanks for clothes on my back. Thanks for transportation. Just so many things that we can be thankful for. And then last but not least, because many people, I think, sometimes, I think, put this first, and that's supplication, meaning now, once I've done all of that, then I begin to bring my requests to the Lord and those things that I want to pray for and others that I want to pray for and intercede for. So that would be the way I would break that down for you guys.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Good.
All right. Yeah.
Helpful acronym.
Well, hey, I love you guys, man. I love you so much. You, both of you.
Love you too.
Well, you guys are amazing. You're such an amazing couple, an amazing mommy and daddy and husband and wife. And you are just there's nobody perfect but Jesus. But if I was going to point anyone to a model family, I would certainly direct them towards you. And if they were able to build community with you, I would encourage them to do that. So I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you. Very sweet.
And I appreciate it. Thank you. And I appreciate all of you out there in listening land and hope you enjoyed this conversation. Kendra and Brandon Murr, one of four daughters that I have, and hope you've enjoyed this. Tune in again for another episode of Q&A with Koloff. God bless you.
All right, Robbie Dillmore chiming in here because I'm the producer and I was listening. Just wonderful. But I'm going to redirect your dad for a minute so the listeners have a chance to hear what I think the question was you were asking him, because I'm dying to know myself. So the question I think they were asking you is, when you're praying, I'll throw some stuff out there. Do you picture Jesus? Do you picture the Father? I'm just, you know, in other words, when you're picturing in your mind that experience of talking to God, who are you talking to, or what do you feel like? Is that the question you're asking, Brandon?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think some people picture him on the throne. Some people picture him in the room with them. There's just, visually what's going on in your brain when you're talking to God.
And so I'm just going to go silent and then let you answer the question that he asked. Although I love the axe thing and I think it's good.
But yeah, for
that,
sure.
That's the question that I'm dying personally, because I felt the question and I was like, oh man, this is going to be good.
Gotcha. All right. So in my prayer time, what is it I maybe visualize, or maybe I picture in my prayer time? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I actually start out my prayer with it, like literally saying, okay, Lord, I'm just coming into your throne room right now, and I'm going to lay these requests, or I'm going to lay these things down at your feet, or I may lay them in your lap. And so, yeah, I essentially visualize him, you know, as he sits to the right hand of the Father, or just verbalize that I'm coming. The veil was torn from top to bottom, so you have given me access into your throne room, into your presence. And so that's more of what I visualize is coming in. When I come into his presence, that I'm coming into that throne room and just humbly coming before him and making my requests known. And so not so much picturing him floating on clouds or anything of that that nature, as much as just out of reverence and out of respect for who he is as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, sitting on that throne, wearing his crown, and just the privilege and the opportunity of coming in to just enter into his presence and lay those things at his feet, or like I say, lay them in his lap or place them in his hands.
Yeah, I think people's answer is kind of based on their personalities, because you and Jason, our pastor priest, have kind of similar answers, similar personalities, like leaders. And then other people imagine him as like a shepherd, like guiding them through a field. You know, it's like the answers that we've gotten kind of correlate to who the person actually is, which, I mean, makes sense because we all have our own personal relationships and what we picture. But yeah, I think that's what I would have expected you to picture.
Well, and that's a very valid point. And as far as like whether you see him as a shepherd or one day I was listening to a sermon on the way up and you know, he came the first time crying in the manger. He's coming the second, you know, coming back with a shout and with a, you know, the sword. And I mean, he's coming back as a warrior, right? So yeah, just depending depending on your perspective, that's good. So, well, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys again so much. Thank you for your time today. And we'll look forward to talking to you guys.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Love you guys. Have a wonderful aloha. Have a wonderful day.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.